We begin the current daf, Masechta Sota, daf Yud Aleph. We begin on the bottom of daf Yud Aleph Beis, two lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing Avshalom. Avshalom was the son of David HaMelech, who, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, were from those people that he did something wrong and he got punished, midi k'neged mida, for what he had done, for example, with his hair. So he was hanging from his hair and that's how he died. He rebelled against his father David and he got punished for that. Now, it says in the Pasuk at Shmuel Beis, that in regards to this time when he was rebelling, it says, Avshalom lokach, Avshalom took, v'yatzav loy b'chayiv, and he erected it for it in his life, which talks about there in the Pasuk, es matzeves asher be'imik ha-melech, regarding this statue that he made in the valley of the king. Now, but the Gemara asks, my lokach, what did he take? Because if you read the Pasuk, it says, Avshalom lokach, Avshalom took, it doesn't say what he took, and says v'yatzav lebechayev, and that he erected during his lifetime es matzeva esh be'imek hamelech, this matzeva, this monument. So what is it that he took? So Amar Rish Lakish explains shalakach mekech rala asmai. What does it mean? It means to say that he took a bad purchase for himself. In other words, the pasuk is saying that he took this mantle of becoming the leader of the royalty during his lifetime, and that is what the pasuk is saying that he took this matzeves asher be'imek hamelech. How so? How is this attempting, which was a bad move, which is what he took? He took a mekech ra, a bad thing, that he's trying to be king now. But that's what the pasuk leads in. It says that he took as matzeves, the pillar, asher be'imek hamelech, which was in the valley of the king, v'goyim, etc. And that, the Gemara explains, is more than meets the eye that's going on over here. And that's why it's saying that what he took was a mekech ra. Was Amar b'chanin bar papa. This is, when it says matzeves, it's not what the words just mean of regarding a pillar. Of course, that's what he made. And Be'imek HaMelech is not just the name of the place, which was the Valley of the King. It's Be'itza Amuka Shel, we're talking about the deep counsel, the deep wisdom and planning of the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the Malkei Shel Olam. He's the king of the world because Hashem had made a gzeira on David HaMelech regarding the Maisa, the incident with Bathsheba, and that was a sin for David HaMelech, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said that he's going to get punished, as we continue to talk about Yud Aleph and Aleph, the Chassid says the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Hashem told him, Hineni mekem alech rami b'yisecha, behold, I'm going to bring evil upon you from your house, meaning someone in your family. Now that's what the Pasuk is saying, that Avshalom, he was Yatzev Loi, he went and established, what he established, which was this Eitza, this council of the Melech, the Malkei Shel Olam, which was the Emek HaMelech, the depth of who knows, understands the depth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Eitza about how the world runs. And that's also fits in what we're saying, that it's the Matzeves, because actually Hashem's word, as the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Lo'olam Hashem Dvarcha Nitzav, that forever Hashem, your words stand. And therefore, that's how we understand the pasuk, which was that if one reads the whole pasuk now, it's Avshalom took, he took a bad idea for himself. The Yatzav Lebechayev is that now he went and he established during his lifetime that he was going to be that player, which was that David HaMelech was cursed, that someone in the family is going to uprise against him, which was Es Matzeves, which is in regards to the Nitzav, the Hashem Devarcha Nitzav, Asher Be'emek HaMelech, which was with the Emek Amutza, the Eitz Amuka of HaMelech of the king, which, as Rashi then explains actually the rest of the pasuk, which we're going to skip with the Gemara, shortly going to explain the words Ki Amar Ein Li Ben, because that was his rationale why he's making this monument, Bavur Hasker Shmi, that people should remember my name. Now then it says, V'yikor L'matzeves Al Shemoy. So literally that would mean, in the simple translation of the pasuk, that he called the monument after himself. But Rashi saying, based on the drush was saying over here, it's that the matzeves, meaning this that was going to be Hashem, Dvar Hashem, that Nitzav is going to be affecting the David, was that Al Shemai, he was now taking that role, the responsibility of bringing evil upon David HaMelech, that someone in his family is going to rebel against him. And that's where the pasuk there ends. V'yikari lo Yad Avshalom ad Yom Hazeh, was, that's just because that's what the name of the place was called Yad Avshalom. So, but that's the understanding of the pasuk, Rish Lakish is interpreting, again, based on this rebellion of Avshalom, that it was actually filling in the Hashem's master plan in how David HaMelech was going to be punished, and Avshalom was taking that role. Now the Gemara says Kiyetze b'devata Eimer. Similarly, you find the pasuk in Bereishis is the same idea, where you have the word Eimek, and although generally it would be translated as the valley or as the deep area, it's actually referring to something more deeper than that. As the pasuk says, Vayishlechayu me'Eimek Chevron, that he was sent from the depth of Chevron, from the valley of Chevron, which the pasuk is from by Yosef, that his father sent him to his brothers to find out what are they doing, where are they. Now, actually, that was the beginning of the descent into Egypt, because that's when Yosef went to see what's going on, and then they said, oh, let's go get rid of this troublemaker, and they sell him down to Egypt, and that starts the whole journey down. Now, that Amar B'chanina Bar Papa explains, that's why it says Me'ei Mechevron, because it's a reference, Be'etza Amuka Shel Oseid Tzadik, Shekava B'chevron. It's a reference to the depth of the council again, council means to say a wisdom that manifests itself in moving forward, of the righteous person, a reference to Avram Avinu, who is buried in Chevron. The Chassid, like it says, the pasuk in Bereishis, what does this have to do with Avram going down to Mitzrayim? Because the pasuk says, Hashem told Avram, you should surely know that your children will be gerim, will be foreigners in a different land, and that's exactly what Galus Mitzrayim was, and therefore this was the Eitzah Muka of the Tzadik that was buried in Chevron, the reference to the bris between Avram and Hashem. Now going back to that pasuk that we mentioned before with the Matzeves Avshalom, so it says, what was the rationale why Avshalom built a monument for himself so that people should remember him? Ki Amar Ein Li Ben, because he says, I don't have a child. A child usually commemorates, keeps up the memory of the person, but if there's no children, then he wanted a monument. Now that the Gemara asks, is that really true? Avshalom didn't have any children? But the pasuk says, Mul Beis, Ve'yivoldu L'Avshalom Shleish Shabonim V'asa Achaz, that Avshalom gave birth to three sons and one daughter. So that Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, he says, Shalohoyloi ben Hogun Lamalchus. He didn't have a son that was fit for royalty to be the king like himself. So it wasn't on par for his status. And therefore he said, let me build a monument to remember me. My children are not enough of that. Now, moreover, Rav Chisdam, he says, Gimi, we have a tradition. Kalasev tovoase shalchavei, whoever burns the produce of his friend, Eino menich ben lo yershe, does not leave over a son of his own to inherit him. And therefore, says the Gemara, V'iyu kal yilid Yayiv, he had burned the produce of Yayiv. The Chassid, like it says, the Pasuk at Shmuel Beis. For Yayim al-Avadav, that Avshalom said to his servants, Ru'u chelkes Yayiv al Yodi, look at the portion of Yayiv that's near me, V'lo yisham sarim, and there he has barley. L'chu v'yitzisu v'esh, go ahead and consume it and burn it in fire. V'yitzisu avdi Avshalom es achal k'v'esh, and that's what they did. His servants burnt it up in fire, and that's why he didn't leave over a son that's worthy of inheriting him. Now, the Gemara continues explaining our mission that was talking about B'midashah, the Maidid Bab Mai Noisai. Shortly, people say that in the way of Midi Keneged Midah, what you do is how you get in return. Now, then the Mishnah said, although we've been mentioning all the bad things about consequences and punishments, but V'chein L'in HaTayva, same thing applies to good. We're found by Miriam V'chulu, where she waited for an hour, a short moment, for her brother Moshe when he was a baby in the water in the Nile to see what was happening. And in that merit, the Jewish people had to wait 7 days when she was a Metzairah, and they didn't move on in their journey. Now, that the Gemara asks me, dummy, is that comparable? Hasam chadashaita, she waited 1 hour. Hacha shiva yayma, here it's 7 days. Didn't you say it's exact? What you do is what you get? That's not the same thing. So Amma Abaye says, you're right. Ema ula inin hatoyva enakein. Read that in the words of the Mishnah is that, although by bad, what you do is exactly what you get in return, that in good, it's not like that. And that actually, more than what you were maided, more than what you did, is maided in the law you get in return. Now, that Amalei Rava asks, but ha'vachein le'in in ha'tayba k'tani, that's not our gear, so that's not the text we have in the Mishnah. It says, and so too regarding good, just like by bad. So Elamah Rava, rather, Rava gives a different interpretation. It says, ha'chei k'tani, this is what the Mishnah is saying. When it says v'chein le'in ha'tayba, same thing applies to good, means the ba'isa mida, in that same measurement, meaning in the same context, that you did good is going to be what you're going to get in return. But ula oila mida teiva meruba mimidis paranis, obviously that the measurement of good in return is going to be more than consequences of punishment. Meaning, more than what you did is what you're going to get back, because the Hashem's goodness outweighs his acts of punishment. But it's in the same context where she waited, so they waited for her. But of course, the measurement of how much the return is going to be way more than what was done. Here she waited an hour, and then they waited 7 days. Now, the Gemara expounds in way of a drush this pasuk that we mentioned, which was the source for the reward of Miriam having them wait for her 7 days, because she waited one moment for her brother Moshe to see what was going to happen with him. So that pasuk, now the Gemara darshins, it says that his sister was standing from afar, as the pasuk says, "Ladeya maya asalei shemat." No, what was going to be with her brother? Because her mother had to take him and throw him into the water in the basket because the Egyptians were killing all the male children. Now Amr Yitzchak, he says, "Pasuk zekule Hashem shchina nema." This entire pasuk is said in regards to the divine presence. This, when Moshe Rabbeinu was there in the water and he was being watched. And that basically says, actually, it's a reference to the divine presence. Every single word, like he explains. When it says, v'teisatzav, that she stood, that's a reference to the divine presence. So like it says, the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, it says, v'yovei Hashem, v'yisyatzav, v'goyimel, Hashem came and he stood. So we see that that word references the Shekhinah. Achoisai, next word says that it was his sister. Like it says, the pasuk in Mishlei, it says, Emor lochach, masay to wisdom, which that's near Hashem, and it comes out of Hashem's mouth, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, ki Hashem yitin chachma mipiv, Hashem gives wisdom from his mouth, das usvuna, understanding and insight. So, Emor lochach, masay to wisdom, which is a reference to Hashem, achaisiat, you're my sister. So again, we see that achaisai is also a reference to the divine presence. When it says that she was standing mirachik from afar, that's also a reference to the Shekhinah. The Chassid says the pasuk in Yirmiyah. It says, Meirochik Hashem, nearly, from afar, Hashem was shown to me, was visible to me, so therefore you see again that Meirochik is also a reference. When it says, Ledeya, to know, like it says in Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, it says, Kikel Deya is Hashem, because Hashem is a knowing God. So you see that it's Ledeya, is a reference to Hashem. Ma, what? Like it says in Pasuk in Devarim, Ma Hashem, Elikecha Shol Mimach, what is it that Hashem, your God, asks of you? You see that Ma is what Hashem, and therefore, again, a reference. And then it says, Ye'asai, what will be done? The Chassid says, the Pasuk in Amis, Ki lo yase Hashem likim davar, Hashem davar, elikim davar, that Hashem won't do anything. So again, that the Ye'asa is regards to elikim, to Hashem. And when it ends off, lai, to see what was going to be done with him, that's also a reference to the Shechinim, the Chassid says, the Pasuk in Shaftim, the Yikru lai, that he called to him, Hashem, Shalom, peace. And therefore we see that all the words in that pasuk, when Moshe Rabbeinu was being watched to make sure he was going to have a safe resolution, was the divine presence, although the simple translation is that it was his sister Miriam. Now the Gemara begins a lengthy explanation of the psukim, the beginning of Sefer Shemais, which is related, first of all, the pasuk that we brought before with Miriam is in that context. Moreover, is the idea of Midi Keneged Midi is going to come up over here. So the Gemara begins. It says in the pasuk of Yoke Melech Chadish v'Goyimer that a new king came upon the Egyptians. So Rav Shmuel does a machloikis. Chad Amar Chadish Mamash. One of them, either Rav or Shmuel, says literally there was a new king. But Chad Amar Shenes Chadshu Gezeres. The other one says it wasn't a new king. It's just that he made new types of decrees. Now the Gemara explains Manda Amar Chadish Mamash. The one that says literally there was a new king. Chadish, because it says Yoke Melech Chadish that there was a new king. And again, that's when it started the whole servitude and the whole enslavery of the Jewish people. So when it says that new, it's because it says new. And he was the bad king. But the one that says that no, it was just new decrees, he changed his whole personality, is the like Siva Yamas, because it doesn't say that the king of Egypt died and then Mayimlech, and that there was a new king that came in place of him. So therefore, since it doesn't say that, although it says Chadosh, it means he just suddenly was a new type of a person, he changed his whole approach. Now, it says that it was a new king, Asher lo yodas Yosef, that didn't know Yosef. In other words, Yosef was the second in command. The Jewish people, of course, couldn't have anything being done to them. But now that Yosef passed away, and now there's a new king. So it says that he didn't know Yosef. How can you not know Yosef? Everyone knew Yosef. Yosef was what saved the whole world. So in that, the Gemara explains, Havadami kemando lo yodas leklal. It was as if he didn't know him at all. And again, that goes very well with the one who says that it was just in Neschatrik Zeresa, it wasn't really new, he just changed his whole approach. Now the next pasuk says, Vayomer el Amoy, that Pari said to his people, Hine am b'nei Yisrael, behold the Jewish people, as the pasuk there concludes, is Rava Otsum Imenu, is great and mightier than us. Now, Tana, we learned the Brisa, Hu Hischel be'etzet chila, Pari was the first one that started this whole diabolical approach to annihilate the Jewish people. And therefore he was the one that got the first one that got punished, as the Gemara explains. Who is he was the one that started this idea first. Like it says in the pasuk, he said to his people, he instigated. That's why he's the first one to get punished. Like it says in the pasuk by the Tzvardeya, but one of the ten makas says that the frogs are going to come in you and in your people and all your slaves. The first one that's going to get punished is you because you started this whole thing. Now the next pasuk then says, Havan is chakmalai. So Para is sitting, scheming how to destroy the Jewish people. So he says, let's outsmart him. Now the Gemara asks, Lahem ebayle. It should say to them. We're talking about a nation that he was trying to outsmart them. So that Amar B'chama, Reb Chanina says, Boyu v'nechkim l'meshin shal Yisrael. Now it is regards to an individual, so to speak. That let's outsmart the savior of the Jewish people, let's be smarter than him. That's why he said it in the Lashon Yachid, in the singularity. Now, they were wondering and scheming as follows. With what should we judge to destroy the Jewish people that Hashem, their savior, won't be able to judge us? And that's because they knew of Hashem's ways, which is one of the segues of this Gemara from the previous discussion, is that Hashem measures what's called Mida Keneged Mida, as we find by they knew from history, from the Dor HaMabul, of the Great Flood, the people of Sodom, how they sinned was what they got in return. So they were wondering, what can we do? We know the Jewish people have this great Hashem, and he does Mida Keneged Mida. What can we do that he won't be able to get back at us? As they said, Nidayin Ba'esh, if we're going to destroy the Jewish people in fire, B'ksiv, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya, and this is Perek Samach Vav, pasuk Tezvav, that says, Ki hine Hashem Ba'esh Yavai, behold Hashem comes in fire, and there the pasuk says, L'hashiv B'chim Apoi, the garos belava ish, that is that he returns with his anger, he gives and he burns. Like it says in the pasuk after that, ki be'ish Hashem nishbat b'goymik, is that with fire Hashem judges, and therefore they were saying we can't go out and destroy them with fire because Hashem, their God, is a fiery judgment that he gives, and he's going to then burn us. B'cherev, we should kill them with the sword. But Ksivit says during that same pasuk in Yeshaya, u'b'char be'es kol basa, that with his sword he kills all the people. And therefore, we can't kill them by the sword, because then we're going to get killed by the sword. Rather, they said, let's judge and kill the Jewish people by water. We have Hashem, so to speak, Chas Hashem, stuck. Where, because he can't bring a flood to the world anymore and destroy us with water. Like it says, a pasuk in Yeshaya, it says that Hashem says, Kimei noyach zoisli, that because the waters of Noach, a reference to the Mabul, that this is for me, v'goyim, etc. The pasuk says, Hashem nishbati ma'avar me'nayach oidala aretz, Hashem, that I swore that I'm never going to bring a Mabul, a flood, ever again to the world. So they said, great, Hashem can't do that to us now, midi k'negi midi. But that the Gemara says, v'hein ein en yoidim, but the Mitzrim, the Egyptians, didn't know, shal kol ha'olam kula yeinim evi, it's only regarding the whole world that Hashem is not going to flood. Avalat uma achasu me'evi, but one nation, he could bring that to Inami, or another mistake that they made was, who in the Mevi? Hashem can't flood the world. And that's, in other words, regarding his oath that he made. But they could come and fall into that water. So it says in the Pasuk in Shemais, actually that's what happened. That the Egyptians ran toward the Jews and they drowned themselves. That could happen. And that was the mistake that they made. And therefore they tried to then take all the Jewish babies and drown them in the water. Now, behind Amir Belazah, that's what Belazah says, what does it mean in the Pasuk in Shemais? Ki bedav asher zadu aleim, because that which they had plotted against the Jewish people was what happened to themselves, which means, bekederish bishlu, in the pot that they cooked, and that's because what the word zadu means, is banis bashlu, is what they were cooked in, and literally when you cook, there's water inside, what they tried destroying the Jewish people was how they ended up getting destroyed. Now the Gemara asks, "My mashma the hayzadu lishna de kederuhu." Where do you see that the word zadu is a word of, because what they cooked is what they got cooked themselves? How do you see that zadu is a term of a cooking in a pot? The Sifrei says the pasuk in Bereishis, it says "Vayazid Yaakov nazid," that Yaakov was cooking these lentils. So we see that nizid is a word of cooking, and therefore we see that what they had cooked was what actually cooked them. And that, again, that's the idea of midi k'neged midi, which they mistook. They knew their concept, but they thought that water Hashem couldn't do anymore, and they didn't know that it's just the whole world and Hashem bringing it on them, where they actually walked into it themselves. Now, Amr B'chir Barabba, Amr B'simai, says, Shloi Shehoyu Bo'isa Eitzi, there were three individuals there by that council of Havan Eschak Malay of how to destroy the Jewish people. Bilam, Ve'iyav, Ve'yisrei. Three very well-known biblical figures. Bilam Sheyotz Nerek. Bilam, they gave the idea that let's get rid of the Jews. He got killed, as it says later on in Chumash, where Iyav Sheshasak Nidin Be'yisrum. Iyav that was silent and didn't say anything. So he was judged to have a life of affliction, as is well known from Sefer Iyav. Yisrei Shebarach Zochum Im Neibonav Sheyashvu Belishkes Agazes. Whereas Yisrei that fled, he said, I'm not going to be a part of this. He merited that his grandchildren should sit in the chamber of hewn stone, meaning in the great Sanhedrin of 71 in the Beis HaMikdash. And then, like I said, the Pasuk in Divrei Yom Aleph says, Umishpachei Seferim, that the families of scribes, Yeshvei Yavetz, which Rashi says not just that the dwellers of Yavetz, I mean like the students of Yavetz, who was a great person in Torah, as the Pasuk says in Divrei Yom Aleph, that Vayikra Yavetz Lelkei Yisrael, he called out to Hashem, if you're going to bless me with Torah and increase my boundaries with students, and Hashem gave him what he asked, which they were terasim, which Rashi means from the Sifri, means to say the word trua, that they heard the trua at Har Sinai, they heard the shofar blowing, or terasim means because of like the word tuf and shin are interchangeable, like a word of shar. Tara means like a shar, it's because they sat by the gates of Yerushalayim, or and they were shimasim, where they heard the commands of their father, where, because this is actually talking about in this pasuk of Bnei Yonadav ben Rachav, who they were from the grandchildren of Yisrael, as the pasuk explains, they were from the kingdom, as will prove that that's the father-in-law of Moshe, which is Yisrael, and they were suchasim, and that's because they sat in sukkos, in tents, like the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Benesha Ba'olam, that let's sit in tents, and they were called the families of scribes, which again, as we explained, were the Sanhedrin, and so to terasim is because they were the elders of the gates. So as the pasuk says, Heima hakinim haboim mechamas, they're the kinim, that's the name of the people, that came from Chamas, Avi Bes Rechav, the father of the house of Rechav. Now, so if all these people that we just mentioned were from the kinim, and they were Mishpacha Seifrim, they were from the Sanhedrin, so who are these people? Chassidus says the pasuk in Shaftim, Uvenei Keni, and that the children of Keni, who were Chais and Moshe, which Keni was the father-in-law of Moshe, again, which was, etc., which is Yisrael. And therefore we see that Yisrael, his grandchildren, were the Kenim, that were Mishpacha Seifim, Yeshvi Yavetz. So we see that him, because he fled, he merited to have his grandchildren sitting on the great Sanhedrin. Now the work continues. Now Pasuk there, when they're plotting against the Jewish people, so they were concerned about saying how great and mighty the Jewish people are becoming. And they said, "V'nilcham banu." They're going to then wage war against us, these Jews. "V'alum in the arts," and they're going to go up and leave the land. Now the Gemara wonders, "V'ali nu," that we will go up from the land. "Mi boyle" is what's necessary to say. In other words, because what they should have said was because the Jews are going to overpower us and chase us out of the land of Egypt. Why is it saying that they will go up? To the contrary, that they would love that their enemy leave their land, since they're afraid of them. If you're so afraid, so why are you concerned that they're going to leave? You want them to leave. Isn't that what you're saying? Why you want to destroy them? So that Amr Baba Bar Kahana, he says, you're right. The concern was that the Jewish people are going to chase them, the Egyptians, out of Egypt. But Ka'adim Shemekal Lasatzim, it's like a person who curses himself. But he doesn't want to say that something bad about himself, so he says it about someone else, but really it's a reference to himself. So though it says Va'ala, it really means Va'alino, that we will have to leave. Now the pasuk after that says, okay, so what they decided to do was, v'yisimu olav sari misim, that they then placed upon them, upon the Jewish people, these masters that would make sure that they take care of the load, the tasks they were appointed to. Now the question is, aleim ibayle, it shouldn't say that on him, we're talking about a nation, that they put taskmasters upon the entire Jewish people. So that tanit b'rab Elazar b'rab Shimon, is taught in yeshiva, in the Brayse of Reb Elazar b'Reb Shimon, Melamed She'aviyu Malbin. What this teaches is that they brought a Malbin, which is a type of the form, which is how they would make bricks. They would fill up this form with cement and smooth it out, and that's what made a brick. So they brought this form, V'taluloi L'Pare B'Tzavar, and they hung it on as a necklace around Pare's neck, where, as Rashi says, that's because if you read the Psukim, it is going, the Psukim we're talking about Pare up until now. It was saying, Vayomer El Amay, that he said to his people, Havan Eschak Malay, he said he was the one that was talking about, let's outsmart him. And then it says, Vayisimu Olav, they put on him. So on him is going back that there was a taskmaster, so to speak, on Pare. How so? Because they hung this form of the brick on Pare himself. Now, therefore, this was a plot. Now, every Jewish man that wanted to get out of the work and saying, no, I'm a very delicate person, and I can't do the work that you're asking me to do. So Amalei, they would say to him, what? Klum istinus ato yisim mipari? You think you're more delicate and refined more than Pari, the king of Egypt? And look at him. And therefore, you're going to work also. Now, based on this interpretation, the Gemara says that when it says sari misim, which usually is translated as a taskmaster, can't mean that over here because Pari didn't have a taskmaster. Rather, what it means, because he had this form of the brick hanging from his neck, it means davar shemesim. He had something that caused the servitude of the Jewish people. It caused them to have to do this work. In other words, because of this form that was hanging on them, now the Jewish people had no more excuse. So the word mesim is from, that is, mason, that it causes, it places, makes people do things against what they wanted to do. Again, because of power he had that, the new Jewish people for sure could do this. Now, the Pasuk says over there that the reason why they did this was leman anoisei b'sevloisam, so that they could afflict him with their burdens. Now, the question is, anoisim b'ilei. It should have said to afflict them with the burdens of the Egyptians. Why is it saying leman anoisei? So actually, based on what we're saying, is leman anoisei l'faroi b'sevloisam d'yisrael. It was so that to afflict Paroi with actually sevloisam is actually the burdens of the Jewish people. In other words, because the Jewish people had to suffer, that because they had to take the burdens on their shoulders, that was the reason for the affliction of Paroi. Now the Pasuk says over there that the Jewish people were again enslaved and working hard. It says Vayivin Ori Miskinis LaParoi, which is usually translated as that they built storehouses for Paroi. Now that Rav Shmuel, they both have a different interpretation in this Pasuk. Chad Omer Shemisaknis is Balein. The word Miskinis is the word for Sakona, that it's something that's dangerous for the owners of those buildings. In other words, because actually through those buildings and that work, it actually caused danger to the life of the Egyptians because of their enslavement of the Jewish people, it caused them to drown by the Yam Suf, by the sea. So it was Ari Miskinis, it was cities that they were forced them to build that the owners, the Egyptians, caused them to lose their life. Charama, the other one, interprets that Shememaskinis is Balein, which means to say that it caused the owners to become poor. Now the reason is because the Amar Malik, the master says, Kala Isik Bibinyan Mismaskin, whoever deals with building, with construction, will become poor. And therefore, just by Ari Miskinis, by trying to build it, caused their owners, the Egyptians, to actually lose their money. Now it says that the cities that they the storehouses that they built was Pisim Ves Ramses. So Rav Shmuel again, Chadama Pisim Shema, one says that it was called Pisim. Now, Balamanikur Shema Ramses, why was it called Ramses? Sharishin Rishin Misroises, because every time when they would build a little bit, the first ones that they had made would crumble and fall down and collapse, and then they would have to go back and build it again, and then would fall down again. So that's why it was called Ramses, from the word of Races. Now, Chadama Ramses Shema, the other one says, actually, no, it was called Ramses, that was its name. Balamanikur Shema Pisim, so why did it get the name of Pisim? Sharishin Rishin Pi Tahim Balu, because the Pi Saim is the Pi Tahim that the opening of the abyss of the earth would open up and swallow. It would collapse and swallow into the ground. That's why it was called Pi Saim. Again, the same idea where the buildings that they were building were never getting completed, either because they would crumble or because they would get absorbed, swallowed up into the ground. Now the pasuk afterwards says, V'chashi Anu Oisai, that as much as they would afflict the Jewish people, so too they will increase and they will get stronger. Now, the question is, it's talking about in the past. It was on some level, the Torah talks about certain stories, and it's narrating the story that happened. It was saying that as much as they would afflict them, so therefore the Gemara asks, it should say, and that's how much they increased and got more than what they were. So why does it say a Lashon Asid, a future term? So Amar Shlokesh, Rosh Lakish says, no, what actually, that is what was happening at that moment. Meaning, Ruch HaKodesh Mivasrasan, the Holy Spirit, let it be known to the Jewish people and was telling the Egyptians that what you're trying to do is not going to help. Where, because Kin Yirbe V'Chin Yifrit, that, meaning when Kashiyanois, when they were afflicting them, at that moment, the Jewish people and the Egyptians were told, Kein yirbe v'chein yifreitz. The more you do this, the more they're going to increase, and the more they're going to be stronger, and they're going to come out. So therefore, don't think you're accomplishing anything. You're actually making things worse for yourself. And for the Jewish people to know that, don't worry, the affliction is actually the blessing of your increasing. Now the pasuk says over there, Vayukutz mnei b'nei Yisrael. That is, it says that the Jewish people got more and more, and they were disgusted, the Egyptians, in the eyes of the Jewish people. So Malamed, this teaches, so you daimin b'ineim kekaitzim, that it appeared in their eyes. In other words, it was as if the Egyptians' eyes were filled and the body was filled with thorns when they would see the Jewish people multiplying and increasing. It was like, oh, these Jewish people, and it was just like almost like thorns in their eyes. That's how painful it was for them to see they were trying to kill and crush the Jewish people, and yet they were increasing even more. Now the next pasuk says, "Veividu Mitzrayim es bnei Yisrael," that the Egyptians worked the Jewish people, as we continue on to Amud Beis, beferach, with hard work. Now Rabbi Elazar Amar, he says that the Jewish people would not have subjugated themselves to hard work right away. Rather, he says beferach is a contraction of beferach, which literally means say with a soft mouth, meaning they would draw them and say, oh, look what we have, marketing, selling it to them, we'll pay you, until they got used to the work, and once they were working, then they got them already where they wanted them. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says, no, beferach means befricha, with harsh, crushing labor that really hurt them. That's the type of labor they were doing right away. Now, then the next pasuk says, v'yemoris chayeim, that they embittered their lives, v'avaydu kasher, with hard work, v'chaymer uvavein v'gaim, with mortar, with bricks, etc. So Amar Rava, he says, b'tchila b'chaymer uvavein. In the beginning, it was just with mortar and bricks. The Messiah, at the end, as the pasuk continues, was a v'chol avaydu b'sad, with all different types of work in the fields, then they got even worse. Now the pasuk says over there, with all the work that they worked them with this harsh labor, which actually Rashi says the girsa should be the words bavoy de kasha, with hard work. But either way, Amr b'shmu b'nachmini, Amr b'yenisni, he says, show you machlifin melechas anoshim lenoshim. What they did is, what's his hard work? That they switched the men's jobs for the women, umelechas noshim lenoshim, and the women's jobs for the men. And that's really hard because men are not used to sewing, women are not used to dragging and carrying heavy things. And that was the hard work that the Jewish people were subjugated to. Now the Gemara just explains that ulamanda amanami hasan, that even according to the opinion that we just mentioned, regarding the first time it says beferach, was beferach, that they were enticed and soft spoken, and that's how they got them in. Hachavad beferach here, that opinion would definitely agree that here the ferach is literally crushing hard labor, because as the pasuk says over there, vayimaru, they embittered their lives. So obviously it's not talking about they were sweet talked. Here it means to say that they had really harsh, difficult labor, in which the Gemara is explaining, at least if it's going the words beferach, that the men were doing ladies' jobs and ladies were doing men's jobs. Now, Darsher Bavira expounded and he said, "Bischar noshim tzidkani es shahayi ba'is ha'adar, in the merit of the righteous women that were in that generation in Egypt, nigalu yisum mitzrayim, it's in their merit that the Jewish people were redeemed from Egypt." As he explains, says b'shasha holches lishamayim, when the women would go and draw water, so Hakadosh Baruch Hu mazmalem dogim kitanim bekadem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu would make sure that there were these little fish that would get into their buckets. Now b'shayivus mechtzamayim and mechtzadogim, when they would draw the water, it would be half water and half fish. Now ubayis v'shayivus shtekadeis, and then they went and they put these two pots on the fire, achas shalcham, and one to make warm water so that they could wash their husband's feet out in the fields, va'achas shaldogim, and one was to cook the fish. And they brought these stuff out to their husbands out in the fields where they were working this crushing labor. So they would wash them and they would anoint them. They would give them to eat and they would give them to drink. And then they would cohabit with them between the boundaries, meaning between the boundaries of the fields, which was a somewhat modest place, just to find a private area where they could cohabit. Because at the end of the boundary of the field, it gets a little higher, and on the other side, a little bit higher, and in between, there's this little place where you can get, and that you have some cover over there. Shnem, like it says, the pasuk in Tehillim, it says, "Im tishkavun bein shvasayim b'kayim," if you're going to lay between the boundaries, which is a reference to the Jewish women that had relations with their husbands, and only because they were able to get them in the place where they were able to, because of bringing them everything and bathing them and giving them to eat. Now, moreover, actually, as the end of that pasuk continues in Tehillim, that Bishar Tishkevun Bein Shvasim, actually, the merit of this, that they had relations with their husbands over there between the boundaries in the field, Zachri Yisrael Abizis Mitzrayim, that's actually the merit that the Jewish people had for the spoils of the Egyptian wealth when they left Egypt. Shem, like it says there at the end of that pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Kamfe Yoina, the wings of a dove, which is always a reference to the Jewish people, as the pasuk says, Shir Hashim, Yoinasi Tamasi, Nechba Bekesav, which is covered in silver, Vevrisel Birak Rekharetz, and her wings, which is covered in brilliant gold, which again is a reference to the Bizas Mitzrayim, to the wealth that they took from Egypt, which is what the Jewish people took, is in the merit of the beginning of that pasuk, was because they were Tishkevun Bein Shvasayim, because of this that they went and they had the faith that they're going to leave this place. And that's why it's important to have children. That was the emunah that the Jewish women had, which caused their redemption, and moreover, that they had the spoils of war when they left. Now, the Gemara continues, V'kivin shemisabris, so once the women would become impregnated from their husbands, Zabois Labatim, they would come to their house. Now, V'kivin shemigiyas man mildehen, when it came time to give birth, Halchitz v'yoldis besodet tachasat apuch, so they would go out and give birth out in the fields underneath the apple tree. Shemach says the pasuk in Shir Hashirim. And the pasuk says that Tachasa tapuach oirar ticha. Hashem says that it was beneath the apple tree that I roused you, etc. Where the pasuk continues and says, Shamech blascha yimecha, there is where your mother had chevel, which is a reference to the chevel leida, which is where your mother gave birth to you out in the trees, out under the apple tree. Now, the reason why they went there and not at home was because there was a decree, because any child that was a male had to have been killed. So they went out to the fields not to be home. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalech Mishmeimar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sent from up in heaven, Mi Shemenacher, someone that should be able to clean, Umashper Oysan, and that could, like what they do to a child, that when it's born, they straighten out the limbs and they make it straight, because sometimes they can get dislocated from the pain of trying to get through the birth canal. So Hashem sent someone from heaven to do that, to clean up the baby and to straighten out the baby. Kechayezu shemeshaperes hazavlad, just like what a midwife would do, that straightens out the child. Shem, like it says a pasuk in Yechezkel, that this is what Hashem did for the Jewish people in Egypt. Umoldo isayach, and regarding your birth, b'yem who led this isach, at the time when you were born, lecharas shareich, means that there wasn't a midwife that was able to cut your umbilical cord. And that there wasn't water to wash you, to smooth out your skin. And that's what Hashem says, that's what I did for you. Now, moreover, then Hashem would get for them these two cakes, like these two round cakes, one made out of oil and one made out of honey. Hashem, like it says, the pasuk in Devarim, that Hashem nursed the Jewish people honey from the rock, b'shemen v'gomer, and oil. Those are the two cakes that he provided for them. Now, but once the Egyptians recognized regarding this woman that she's not pregnant anymore, obviously she gave birth, Sabor and Lahargan, they would come to kill and murder the child. V'naslam nes, and the miracle happened. V'nivloin bekarka, they would get swallowed up into the ground. Now, the Egyptians weren't fazed by that. Mavin shvar m'cheshen al-gabon, so they brought oxen to plow over their ground to kill them under the ground. Shem, like it says, the pasuk in Tehillim. Al gabi chershu chershu megerma. On top of me, say the Jewish people, there were plowers who plowed. Now, la'achar shaholchen, after the Egyptians would already leave, hayim mevatzvazin v'yetzin ke'esav asad, they would actually sprout and come out like the grass in the fields. Shem, like it says, the pasuk in Yechezkel. Revava, and you're increasing, kitzemech asad nesatach, I made you like the sprouting of the field, meaning that they grew from the ground, literally like grass that sprouts from the ground. Now, Bekivin Shemizgadlam, once they became big, meaning they couldn't be home because then the Egyptians would kill them, so they would be out in the fields. Boin Adorm Adorm Lebetan, then they came home in flocks to their houses. Shalom, like it says in that pasuk over there, Yechezkel, Vatirbi Vatigdili, that you increased and you became big. Vatavoy, and then you came to your father's house. Ba'adi Adoim, which is literally translated as being covered in ornaments. But Al Tikri Ba'adi Adoim, the Gemara says, don't read it covered in ornaments. Whereas the Mefarshim explained, because actually, as the pasuk says over there, that they were actually naked, rather in flocks. And then they would come home. Now they're already adults and not children anymore. That's how they would come home. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself by the Yamsuf, when the Jewish people were leaving Egypt, it was these children they were born through the help of Hashem, they were the first ones that recognized Hashem because they had already seen His divine presence when they were born. Shneim like says a pasuk in Shemais, Zekeli, this is my God, meaning I know this is my God. I've already seen Him once before. Ve'anveyu, and I will glorify Him. Now the Gemara returns to this regarding the council of Pari, the Pesukim that we're talking about over there. So the next pasuk after that, where we left off, says Vayemer Melech Mitzrayim LaMayaldas Ibrius VeGemer, that the king of Egypt said to the Jewish midwives and Rabbi Shmuel, the Machlik is Rabbi Shmuel, Chad Amar Isha Bita. One says it was these two midwives was a mother daughter team. V'Chad Amar Kalavach Amaisa. One says it was a daughter in law mother in law. As the Gemara explains, Manda Ma Isha Bita, the one that says it was mother daughter, it's Yecheved UMiriam. Manda Ma Kalavach Amaisa. One says it was a daughter in law and a mother in law was Yecheved VeElisheva, where Elisheva was the daughter of Aminadab, was the wife of Aaron, who there's three children to Yecheved, which was Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. So either it's Miriam and her mother, or it's Yecheved and her daughter-in-law Elisheva, which was Aaron's wife. Now, Tanya Kamanda Amma Isha Bita, we have a brisa that says, like the one who says that it was a mother and daughter, the Tanakh learned the brisa. The pasuk there says that their names were Shifra. So the brisa says, Zu Yecheved, that's a reference to Yecheved, Balam Nikrishma Shifra, why was her name called Shifra? Shemesha Peres Eshavlad, because she would straighten out the child. Dava Acher, another interpretation, Shifra was because Sheparu V'Rabu Yisrael B'Yumeha, because the Jewish people increased and became great in her days. And then the next one was Pua. So that the Bible says, Zumirim, that's a reference to Miriam. But Lama Nekrishma Pua, why was she called Pua? Shahisa Paya, and the Girsa is Lavlad, because literally like Pua, you would coo, that's she would play with the child, just like they play with childs to calm down the child and soothe them. That's what she would do. Or Dava'acha Pu, another interpretation of Pu is Shaisa Paya, that she would scream, but Ruach HaKodesh in the divine spirit, Vaymeris, and she said as a child, she said, Asida imi shetelet ben shemeshiyas Yisrael, that my mother one day will give birth to a son that will save the Jewish people, a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now the next pasuk after, continuing, this is in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes Zayin, says Vayemer that Melech Mitzrayim said to the Yecheved and Miriam, "Bialetchin esevrius begemer," that when you give birth to the Jewish ladies, so then the pasuk there continues, and that's what the Gemara is expounding on: Uriisin alav noim, that you will see them on the stone. So im ben hu v'amit noise, if it's a son, then you kill him. Bim basi b'chay, but if she's a girl, then you can leave her alive. So the Gemara asks, My Avnayim, what's this that he said that you'll see them on the stone? What does stone have to do with giving birth? So Amr Reb Chanan says, Simen Gadol Maslan. Pari gave a very good sign to the Jewish midwives that not to let the Jewish women giving birth quickly take their child and hide the child and say, oh, it was a miscarriage. So what was the sign he gave them so that they shouldn't get away quickly and they should know when they're giving birth so that they should get them and to be able to kill the child? Amalem, he said to them, Bishosha Karas Leilid, at the time when the woman is kneeling to give birth, you know what happens, and this is a good sign to know? Her thighs become cold like a rock. And therefore he says, that's the sign she's about to give birth. If you feel her thighs are like that, then you'll know the child's coming. You'll be able to take him and kill him, not to let the Jewish woman go out for a second and then really give birth and say, oh, it was a miscarriage. The Ista Amr, and some say that actually the reference of Alav Noyim, of the stone, is Kedek Sivlik, says the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. It says, V'erd Beis HaYetzer, I went down to the place of where the one who forms the earthenware vessels, V'hinehu Oysa Melocha Alav Noyim, behold, he was doing his work on the stones. So on that, the Gemara explains that the comparison to a woman giving birth to Alav Noyim is, Ma Yetzer Zed, just like this one who forms the earthenware, Yerech Mikan V'Yerech Mikan V'Sadim Be'emtza, he has his thighs open, where one thigh is on one side and one thigh is in the other one. And then you have this thick piece of wood where on that is where he lays and rolls this round egg-sized piece of clay, which is that's how he shapes into to the shape of a vessel, whether he wants it big or small. So that's in between his two legs. That's Af Isha, that's a reference to Avnayim, which we find the concept by the Yetzer of Klicheres, so too is a woman. Ve'yerech mikan, ve'yerech mikan, v'avlad be'emtza. But the thigh, it's open. The one thigh is on one side, the other one's in the other one, and the child's in the middle. So it says over in that pasuk that Pari said to them, "Im ben hu v'hamit noisay." If he's a boy, then you kill him. So again, Amr Chanina says, "Simen gadol maslan." They gave them over a great sign, which was, as the Pasuk says, it says, V'r'isna alavnoim, you will see them by the stone, that it says, imbenu, if he's a child, meaning that you'll be able to know if he's a son without even picking him up to see his face, if it's a boy or a girl. How? Ben, panav lamata, if it's a boy being born, his face is facing downward, just like he has marital relations. Bas, panel lamala, the girl comes out with her face facing upward, which is also how she has tashmish, and that's how the Gemara explains in Masechtas Nida, daf lamed aleph. And therefore, that's what he was giving them a good sign. You'll know it's a boy if his head is facing downward. Now, the next pasuk says, however, v'terena hamayaldas esolikim, that the midwives feared Hashem, that they didn't do like Pari said to them. Now, it used the word dibra alehan. Now, that the Gemara says, lehen mebayle, it should have said that dibra lehen, that he spoke to them. The word alehan, as Rashi points out, connotes the idea of cohabitation. It says in Bereishis Chavtes, it says, Vayove Eleho, he came to her, although both of them mean to her, but Eleho means more intimate. So why does it use that regard to the Jewish midwives? So Amr B'Yisr, Reb Chanina, he says, Malamed, this comes to teach, Shetavon L'dvar Ve'evelo Nitfu, that he propositioned them regards to having be with them, and they didn't take that offer of having be with Pari. Now the Pasuk says over there, V'tachayenu es hayoladim, that they kept the Jewish children alive. Now, the problem is that it should have said that they didn't kill the Jewish children. The wording betachayena sounds like they actually kept them alive. They did something to keep them alive, that they actually kept them in their houses and brought them up. So as the Gemara explains, Tanu b'lein abraisa, l'idayin shalai miso, not only did they not keep what Pari said to kill the Jewish children, I'll show you, maspikis le'amayim mamazin, actually, to the contrary, they provided them with water and with food. Now, a later pasuk says, "V'tamarna hamayaldos el Pari," that the Jewish midwife said to Pari, "Kilech anoshim egoimer," because the Jewish women are not like the Mitzrius, like the Egyptian women. Rather, ha'ivrius, the Jewish women, ki chayisena, because they're like chayis, which is b'terem tave alein hamayaldos v'yalodu, that before the midwives come, they already gave birth. You can't blame us that the Jewish women are having all these boys because we're not there yet. They give birth by themselves. So the Gemara says, "My chayis." What does it mean? They're like chayis. In other words, "ilei mechayis mamish." If you think it literally means to say, which a chaya means a midwife, and that's why, well, she's like she's a midwife herself, so she doesn't need a midwife, and that's why we're not there yet, and they give birth, and therefore we can't kill the child. And then the Gemara asks, "Atu chayim milei tzricha chaya achriti la'alode?" What do you think? A midwife, when she's giving birth, doesn't need another midwife to support her. So therefore, how's that a reason why they're giving birth on themselves? Ela amrulay, rather what they said to Pari was, umezu kechaya nimshala, from the word of wild animal. And that is that this nation are like animals. In other words, like the animals in the field, that they don't need midwives, they just give birth. Where we find in when the bracha is that Yaakov gave to his children, Yehuda is called a gur aryeh, is a lion cub. Dun is a hidda nachash, is that dun will be a snake. Naphtali is ayala shlucha, is a hind that's let loose. Yisachar is chamor germ, is a strong-boned donkey. Yosef is a bachar shar, he's the firstborn of the ox. Binyamin, it says that he's a zev yitrev, he's a wolf that devours. So, and that the Gemara explains, it says, so dechsiv bey, whichever one of the shvatim that it calls him by a behema or a chaya, so chsiv bey, so regarding him, we see that they're called a chaya. Now, even the like chsiv bey, even the shvatim that it doesn't say regarding them a type of an animal, but Ksiv, it says regarding all of the Jewish people together, a pasuk in Yecheskel, it says, Ma imcha, just like your mother, in other words, Knesset Yisrael, is called a Leviya, a lioness, which Bein Aroy is Rav Tzabagim, that lays between the lions, therefore all the Jewish people is called after an animal, a lioness, and therefore again, that's why they were saying, look, what do you want from us? Just like animals just give birth on their own, they're doing that too, and therefore we're not there in time to be able to kill the child, Alav Noyim. Now, a later pasuk then says, "Vayihiki yaru hamayaldas esolikim," that it was that when the Jewish midwives feared God, biyaslem batim, and he made for them houses. So Rav Shmuel, they explain, it doesn't just mean houses. Chadom rebatik kahuna v'levia, which is more of a symbolic house, that Hashem made for them houses of kahuna and of levia. V'chadom rebatim malchus, one says houses of royalty, as the Gemara explains. The one that says that in the merit of what they had done, that they got the houses of Kohuna and Leviah, that's a reference to Aaron and Moshe, that came out of Yechabit. Umanda Bate Malchus, the one that says the house of royalty, is David Name Min Miriam Kasi. That's because David also comes from Miriam, who is the other Mialedis. The Chassidic is the Pasuk in Divrei Yom Aleph, it says with Thomas Azuva, that Azuva died, who that was the wife of Kalev, which is actually Miriam, as the Gemara later on will explain why was she called Azuva. And although it says that she died, it actually means that she got Tsaras. And so when she, quote, died, which she really didn't, just Tsaras is considered like you're dead, V'yikach le'Kalev es Ephras. So then Kalev took Ephras, which means to say that after that she was healed, then actually he went and then took Miriam back. So obviously we see that Ephras is Miriam, and V'teil lo yaschor, and she gave birth to him, Chor. Uksiven, this is a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, says V'David ben ish Ephrat v'goyim, that David was from a household of Ephrat, and again Ephrat is Miriam, and therefore we see that Bate Malchus also came from the Mialdas, which is a reference to Miriam.